Good morning. Good morning. I must spit or something. What? This is like. You don't have to, but it feels kind of weird. I feel like I'm talking to two different nations. I don't know. There's a lot going on, right?
Yep.
It's been a busy, busy, busy week in the kingdom of the United States. I want to make just a couple comments, personal comments, about the election to start things off today. First of all, and it's from two different perspectives. One's from the perspective of being a follower of Jesus. The other one is from the perspective of being an American citizen. And so I just split them up that way because I think that all of us are kind of living, in Jesus' name, all of us are kind of living at two different levels, you know. I just want to say this too. You know, when I get this sense that we're moving into intercession, it doesn't mean that we're leaving behind personal ministry or, I mean, anytime you need something from the Lord, when you walk into this room, you should anticipate that God's going to meet you here and he's going to give you what you need. So it doesn't mean that we're going to move into intercession away from personal ministry, but everything happens at multiple levels. If you live in a family, you know that. You know that it's not all about what's going on at the moment, but there are things that have history to them. There are things that have future to them. There are things that are right now. It's that way for life. And so I think that this room should be a life-giving place. We come in here and we expect things to change. We expect to encounter God in a way that brings life to this. And you'd never really know that until somebody says, "You can't do this anymore." I mean, I've had a number of conversations with Randy who has had a difficult time the last couple months being here. And he is so appreciative of just being in this room. Randy, you can say it. I don't want to say it. You can tell him what you feel like. I don't have to do it.
Hello?
Yeah.
You do such a better job, Jeff. But it is. It's been a joy to, I felt like I was lost and I needed help. And I came here and you guys gave me help and loved me and spoke into my life. And of course I got to do that with you too. And that's part of the fun. But when I realized that for me, and I've talked to some people that have I see here every once in a while, and they've got the attitude that I don't know, they're a separate part. And I said, no, we're not a separate part. We're a part together. It won't work if we're a separate part. We're a part together. My life, if Pam and I were separate parts, how would that look? How would we operate? It wouldn't work. It may have the visual of being somewhat working, but it wouldn't work. Trust me, it wouldn't work. But when we have a love for each other and when we have a need for each other and when we want to, you know, just want to be with each other, that's a precious, precious point. That's when a family begins. That's when a church begins. That's when intercession begins. That's when courage begins. That's when all the things that we've been looking for, kindness begins. It happens when we become a family, when we love each other.
Yeah.
And being together is, if I never kissed Pam, something's wrong. It is that kind of, I don't know, it's a little intimate, but it's kind of the kiss that we give each other by wanting to be together, just wanting to be here with each other. And anyway, Evangel's been an answered prayer for Pam and I both, and And we hope that we can be a little bit of that for you folks as well.
Thank you, Randy. Yeah. There are things happening at multiple levels. That's okay, Pam. You can just set it there. We know where to find it. There are things that happen at multiple levels all the time. So, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus first. It doesn't mean that I'm un-American, but I'm a follower of Jesus first. No matter what happens to this nation, I'm going to follow him. Because there's a lot of reasons. Anyway, as a follower of Jesus, I have to say that the election this last Tuesday was really, really encouraging as a follower of Jesus. Because he's always going to be the main thing. It's always going to be about him. And he's preparing for us for something, and that hasn't changed because of Tuesday. He's still preparing us. And in fact, today, with this whole highlighting of intercession, I feel like he's taking us forward with him. It's not because of the election, but it's in the midst of that. There's been a shift. And so his leadership is what drives us and empowers us. His leadership is what we're following. And he's still the hope of the world. He really is. So now there's been, we're going to see shifts that happen because of the election on Tuesday, because of Donald Trump becoming the president-elect in the nation. We're going to see shifts. But the main shift is there's been a downward trend, like a fall off in morality in the United States these last 45 years. You can see it everywhere. And some people are celebrating that shift and some people are not celebrating that shift. Personally, I think it's been a deterioration of our culture and not a blessing to our culture. Some of the loss of morality. There seems to be a greater chance with Donald Trump in the presidency of that shift coming back up again a little bit for a couple different reasons. But as a follower of Jesus, I'm really excited. Now, from the perspective of being an American Christian, this is an absolute victory for us as American Christians. God did something miraculous on Tuesday. The main thing is that he caused people who love truth to vote. That's the biggest thing that happened, is that a lot of people who didn't vote or weren't going to vote voted. And it wasn't a matter of who they voted for necessarily, but they just got out and voted. They took a stand, they made a move, and they voted. And the American people chose Donald Trump to lead this nation. We as a people chose him to lead this nation. It was our choice. And to be honest with you, very few people, I think, thought that it would actually happen. There were some people that did, but most people thought it was going. Hillary Clinton would be the president in this next 4 years, but it happened in a different way. It surprised us. It was a radical shift in our political system that happened on Tuesday, and there are going to be consequences to that shift, good and bad. As a result of that election on Tuesday, there's a very good chance that the next Supreme Court nominee will be someone who believes the truth and follows the Constitution and raises up a conservative voice in the nation. That's a very good thing for American Christians, that's about to happen. I mean, and it will probably be one of the first things that President Trump does, is he'll probably confirm a nominee for the Supreme Court. That right now, most of you probably know there are 4 conservative and 4 liberal members of the Supreme Court. They'll need a fifth to break ties, and that's why not much gets done when there's 4 and 4. So I believe that that's the most important thing that happened, is that there's a potential for the Supreme Court, because presidents are president for 4 years usually, or mostly 8 years, or at the most 8 years. But Supreme Court justices are there for life. So they could, whatever happens in these next 4 years will probably determine a lot of what happens in the next 20 years in our nation. So it's a good thing. We've got a Republican president, not that I'm Republican or that Christians are Republicans, but we have a Republican president, a Republican Congress, and a Republican House of Representatives. The chance of getting some things done in our nation are much greater now than they have been in a long time. So I think that's really important. Now, does this mean that Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned in the first couple months that Donald Trump is president? Probably not. Because even if he appoints conservatives justice, it's probably going to take one more justice that's conservative to give that kind of a swing to do something like overturn that. And believe me, I think it's a high priority for abortion to end in the United States. It's one of the highest priorities we have. Because there are consequences to taking life. And I know that some of you have gone through abortion. I really have a sensitivity to that. I really do. But the reality is this has got to stop. It's got to stop in our nation. And the chances of that happening are much greater the direction we're going now. So I think within the first couple of years, there's probably a pretty good chance that Roe v. Wade will be overturned. Simply because we'll have the justices that can make that decision and move that direction. And lastly, you know, Donald Trump's a work in progress. He is. He's a work in progress. He's not, I don't think he's necessarily somebody to be emulated personally, but he's the leader of our nation, and he opens the door for some things that we haven't seen in a long time. And he's our president. And so I think there were very few that thought he was actually going to become elected, and there were a lot of people who liked all the shakeup that he caused, but I don't think many people thought through, what if he really was president? What would that mean to our nation? So that's all going to shake out in the next, you know, year or so, the next, they say, 100 days. That some of that stuff's going to shake out. But the bottom line is this: our work is not over. Getting somebody elected is just the beginning of the process. We have to shift the way we think about this nation and become much more participants than spectators. And that means that we have a voice for truth, a voice for freedom, a voice for justice, a voice for morality. We have a voice in this nation. And maybe this is going to stir us up. Right now, there's a lot of conflict going on in our cities, a lot of protest, a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, a lot of division. But this too shall pass. And what's going to be left is people who have strong voices. Can you see why it's important that the Lord has been teaching us about courage right now? Because now is the time to be courageous. Now is the time not to shrink back, but the time to step out and have a voice. Not a voice of division, but you've probably heard it. In the midst of all of this fear and hatred and division, there are voices who are rising up who are saying, irregardless of how you feel about this, we've got to go forward together. And I think for us as a people, that's where we stand. As Christian Americans, we're going forward together. So he's going to change. He's going to grow. He surrounded himself, I'm talking about Donald Trump, has surrounded himself with people who know Jesus, who are followers of Jesus, and who can help him. They can help him understand what's going on in his life, what's going on in the nation, what's going on in the heart of the American people. And so we need to be praying for him. We need to be praying for the strength that he needs to do what he's been called to do. As he grows spiritually, he could become a great leader of this nation. I mean, we have people walk into our lives all the time whose lives have been fractured and broken, and sin has just ravaged their lives. And don't we believe that God can restore them? Yeah. Why would we think that he's going to be the same next year as he is this year? Why would we think that he wouldn't grow? And he could become a great leader of this nation. Our role in that is to pray. Our role in that is not to necessarily promote his presidency, but pray for him as a person, pray for him as our president, and move forward that way. I think that this is an exciting time right now, not because of who was elected, but because of the door that was opened for the truth because of what happened in the election. I mean, it happens, again, on multiple levels. The president's only one part of that. But I'm really excited about where we're at as a church. I'm really excited about what he's been preparing us for, because I think it's part of the process. We've walked along with this process with some of the things that we've learned these last few years about preparing for Jesus. Because as we've been preparing for the return of Jesus, we've been also preparing for what's happened last week in our nation, I think. So it's good news. So we're in this process of learning about courage at multiple levels. Courage is a really important part of what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives. He's releasing courage. He's calling us to be courageous. Being courageous is not just, you know, going out and fighting someone. Being courageous is being having the courage to do the thing that he's called you in your life to do. All of us have assignments. Nobody's a spectator. Nobody's sitting on the sidelines. I mean, I love what Christina shared this morning because it was courageous of her to step out in a group of people that she's just getting to know and saying the things that she did this morning that, I mean, don't you just want to just go hug her, you know? It's that kind of openness and vulnerability, the courage to be yourself that I think is the most important part of who we are. I was talking to somebody on Friday, and they were talking about what Evangel was like and life at Evangel, and I said I love this church, and which for a pastor that's kind of a weird thing to say because it kind of almost sounds like self promotion, but she said, well, what do you love about Evangel? And I said, and I don't know what she thought I was going to say, but it was shocking what I said anyway. What I said was, I love the fact that they let me be me. They let me be me. They let me be who I am. They don't try to force me into a mold. They don't try to make me fit into what they want me to be because they're uncomfortable or they're fearful or they're, you know, you guys have so much faith in Jesus that you'll let me be me, and I let you be you. And that's, I think, the power of this congregation. We don't all look the same, but that's to our advantage. In fact, that's what she said, I just don't fit in. And I said, absolutely. That's exactly why we need you. We need you because you're different. We need you because you're not, you know, you're not a carbon copy of something or someone. We need the diversity because as we grow together and become courageous in the things that God's called us to do, we're going to be so much stronger if we're diverse. If we're not the same, if we learn to love each other's strengths and weaknesses and appreciate each other in our diversity, we're going to be so much stronger than if we take the path where we insist that everybody look the same, everybody talk the same. You know, one of the things that I really enjoy about having different speakers at here on Sundays is that we get used to hearing God's voice through different vessels. And it takes some work sometimes. Sometimes you have a hard time hearing things through me and you'll hear through somebody else and vice versa. And together, I think we're growing that way in a powerful way. So I want to talk about influence today, the influence we have because we're courageous. But it comes part of a package. If you look at your notes, it says the assignment, this is this package of assignment, courage, resilience, favor, and influence. It sounds like a lot. I don't know if I'll get through the notes. That's your problem. They're your notes, so you can do with them whatever you want. But they're the same notes that I have. That's so you're seeing what I'm seeing. But I think it's this whole package. It's not just about courage, but it's about the assignment we get and the courage he gives us to do that assignment, the resilience not to give up, and the favor that comes that allows us to have influence. And so it's a big package, but it's all what God does in it. It's how he works this thing out in us. So again, courage is, we're going to, the word that we've got about courage as a spiritual community is that we're going to begin to see unprecedented courage come to the followers of Jesus who are given extraordinary assignments. Unprecedented courage for extraordinary assignments. So he's not going to give us courage to make it through the day. That's not what we're talking about. He's not going to give us courage to go to school or do our jobs well. I mean, that's not what we need courage for. You can do that without much courage. You can function normally. So I think what we should expect is some out of the ordinary, out of the box experiences where we find ourselves walking into positions where we're seeing opportunities to do the assignment that God gives us at a higher level than we ever imagined before. Doing things that seem impossible, doing things that are really hard to wrap our heads around. It says in 2 Timothy, this is Paul speaking to or writing to Timothy and telling him how this whole thing of courage works. The word courage isn't in here, but it's woven into everything that Paul's saying. He says, or he writes, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. For this reason I remind you, and Paul's writing to Timothy, his kind of apprentice, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. This is a really familiar verse that we almost forget what it's saying. And because it says God gave us not a spirit of fear, but what he's given us is a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-control. That's courage. That's really what courage looks like. Power, love, and self-control. That's really the embodiment of courage for, in a biblical sense, for a New Testament believer. When he gives us an assignment that looks impossible, he's going to give us power, love, and self-control to accomplish that. That's the courage that he gives us. And so when we get confronted with an area when we're weak, as we begin to walk in that power, love, and self-control, we begin to walk in courage. And then it says in Ephesians chapter 6, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, what comes after this in Ephesians 6? Yeah, all the talk about where he talks about spiritual armor, the armor of God, that's what comes after this. This is the lead-in to that section of scripture on spiritual armor. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's his final word. And then he talks about the armor. But the final word is be strong. Be courageous. The final word is be courageous. Our courage doesn't come from our spiritual armor. Our courage comes before we even put the armor on. The armor helps us do the assignment that God's given us. But the strength, the power comes from Jesus alone. So this is all about advancing the kingdom. Nancy prayed it very articulately in her prayer earlier today. It's about what God's doing in his kingdom. There is a kingdom that we are part of, and that's what I was trying to say in the beginning about this thing being on two levels. As a follower of Jesus, I'm more a part of the kingdom than I am a part of the United States. It supersedes that. I mean, no matter what happens to the United States, I'm still going to be a part of the kingdom of God. If the kingdom of God suffers a disastrous blow, the United States could weather that storm, but it's not the truth the other way around. Whatever happens in the United States, I'm going to be part of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom is advancing. It says that in Matthew 11. From the time John the Baptist began preaching till now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people are attacking it. I mean, there's some scriptures that say violent people take it by force, and some people interpret that as the church should be violent in our approach to taking the kingdom of God. It's really not what that scripture is saying. The kingdom is so powerful that violent people are always attacking it. That's what that scripture is saying. The kingdom of God is advancing with such power, because I think sometimes we think the kingdom's waiting for us to get our act together so it can advance. It's just waiting. The kingdom's weak, and we got to become stronger. The church got to be stronger so the kingdom will advance. Well, newsflash, the kingdom is advancing because of the king, not because of us. The kingdom is advancing all the time. The question is, are we advancing with it? And as the kingdom advances, it's going to come under attack, and that means that we'll come under attack too. And I think that's part of what Susan was praying for this this guy and his wife who had lost their son. Their son committed suicide this morning. I mean, they've suffered a terrible, terrible loss. And it's a loss upon loss upon loss in their lives. And I think that they have suffered because the kingdom is advancing. And every time you step out, you become a target because you're part of the army that's winning all the time. The kingdom of God doesn't ever get struck down. The people of God get taken out easily enough, you know, at times. But the kingdom is advancing. It's forceful, and that's why it's under attack all the time. Look what it says in Titus chapter 3, verse 4. When God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we'd done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins and gave us a new birth and a new life through his Holy Spirit. This is what he's doing. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. That same confidence is what we have as people who are part of the kingdom of God that's advancing right now. He gives us that confidence. He gives us that assurance. He's declared us righteous, and he's called us to walk with him. So we're called to be participants and not spectators in this whole thing. And courageous participants in the things that God's called us to do. So he's going to give us our assignments that are a combination of our God-given talents. That's part of it. Some of the things that we do, the assignments that he gives us, if you're articulate, he will call you to speak at much higher level than you ever thought you would, than you ever thought you could, and then give you the power to do that. But you're already a talented speaker. He's going to take it to a whole nother level. You're already a compassionate person, but he's going to take it to a whole nother level. You're already adventurous, but he's going to take it to a whole nother level. So he uses our natural talents, but he also gives us God-given supernatural empowerment to do things that are impossible. That's part of what he's doing here. So our assignments from God have dynamics. I mean, they're moving. There's ups and downs. There's times when you feel strong, times when you feel weak. Times when you feel like you know what's going on and it's not hard to be courageous. There's times when you feel like you're getting hammered on every side. And courage is coming at a price. You know, there's a price to it. There's ups and downs. It isn't just the kingdom is advancing, but our lives fluctuate all the time. That's why we need each other. That's one of the reasons why our life together is really important. Courage is needed to enter the battle that we're only partially equipped for. So, you know, if you have a talent, what would it be? What would be a good talent that somebody has? How is somebody talented in this room? This guy can play the horn really well. So you can spend a lot of time playing your horn in an environment that where it's appreciated and respected, and they'll actually pay you to play a horn. They'll actually do that. You know, you can do that.
Not in Portland.
Not in Portland, maybe. They won't pay you in Portland. But the reason Josiah said that was because something gets released spiritually when you play the horn. Now, he's got a natural talent, Dave does. But what if the Lord supernaturally empowers him in a way that he's playing? He's playing his horn up here, and all of a sudden, people just start getting convicted of their sin. And he hasn't said a word. Nobody sang a song. That could happen. I mean, there's a high likelihood of something like that happening in our midst, where conviction just comes, and it's like he's playing the horn, and it's like the weight of God's presence just starts settling down on us, and you can't help but you just fall on your knees and start repenting. And Dave's thinking, what's going on around here? I'm just playing.
Maybe I should go back to Portland.
maybe you should go back. I'll tell you, if that happens in here, we will kick you out. Because whatever just happened in our midst needs to happen outside this place too. You know, so Kurt's really gifted as an accountant. And he's done a lot. He's really excelled at as an accountant. But, you know, what if the next, what if one of the next moves is attorney general in the state of Washington? I mean, what if somebody comes to him and asks him to walk in that role? And I'm not saying that's true, Kurt, and you don't need to worry about that, because I'm one of the least prophetic people in this room. But, you know, what if somebody comes to him and asks him to pursue that? You know, you can go based upon your talent, you can go so far, but if he was to make that move, I would think that you would think, I'm going to need some help on this one, you know, especially if God called you to do that. But there may be the supernatural power and strength that comes to lift us up to those levels. I mean, I think we're going to see people do some remarkable things, and it's going to be a combination of our gifting, our talent, and also the supernatural help from God. And God's courage is going to be needed for that. In Hebrews chapter 10, this is one of my favorite church scriptures. You know, like, this is the reason why we gather together is here in Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. How do you do that? How do you stir one another up? What does it mean to stir one another up? It's not just listening to preaching, But I mean, it's sitting down with somebody and saying, and them saying, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to do this thing, and I know God's calling me to do it. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I don't even know if I want to do it, but I feel like God's calling me to do it. And you're sitting there listening to that, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts telling you, this is me saying that. And you jump in the fray, and you start saying, oh, can you imagine what it would be like if you actually did this thing that God called you to do? What if you did? What if you took this assignment? How fun would that be? How it would change your life and it would change our lives together. And what could God do with that? It's that kind of stirring up where we hear just a hint of what God might be doing and we say, yeah, yeah, go for it. Most of my time as a leader has been spent doing this in people's lives. I don't have any great wisdom, but I like stirring people up. Maybe sometimes not the best ways, but I like stirring them up. I like meddling in their lives and saying, you know, you could actually do this. You should actually think about this. You could, and just, you know, they feel that push in their back, like, I don't know if I want to do this. But yeah, you could do this. This is how we stir up the gifts in each other that cause us to move into assignments that require courage. I mean, it happens all the time. Rita Springer, who just did an interview, I don't know if many of you know her, but she was a singer-songwriter in the early Vineyard years with Andy Park and Brian Dirksen. And I have fond memories of that time because that's where a lot of worship music was actually birthed during that time. So now she's like, I don't know, 65, 66 years old. She looks like an old hippie. You know, she was down speaking in front of a group of people, and she said this, and she feels like she has this gift of encouragement. And she says, encouragement means to throw courage one's way, to throw courage. I mean, she feels like that's part of her calling and in gifting is to encourage people. And some of us think that encouragement is with words. Well, encouragement can be so much more powerful. You can actually take courage and throw it at people, give it to people. Pass it to them. You know, just set it in front of them and see what they do. You know, they get this thing that God's called them to do, this assignment from the Lord. You just set it in front of them and go, oh, what if this happened? What if we did this? What if this actually unfolded this way? Ryan Redirath, who's down at Bethel right now going to school, called me up a couple days ago and he said, and you know, Ryan's kind of timid, shy, cautious. He goes, I got a word for you. I'm like, really? Are you going to tell me what that word is? He says, yeah. He goes, the Lord wants you to know that all this work that you've been doing, he sees it. And courage starts building in him to give this word with the strength and power that God gave it to him with. Because you can deliver words in your own strength and ability, but you can also move into a place where you're giving words and strength and power of the Lord. And he said, oh, there's so many people coming to Evangel. You have no idea. There's so many people that are about to come. There's a lot of people that are going to come and you're going to see the things that you've wanted to see done, but it's going to come through their help and their strength and their encouragement. You know, they're coming to do the thing that you've dreamed of, you know, kind of. And I was so encouraged. But the most important thing was I was so encouraged that Ryan was encouraging me. I mean, it's like, this is so cool. It's so cool that Ryan was the one who was doing that. And that's what Rita was saying. You can throw out courage to somebody. And I felt like even in our conversation, I was encouraging him to give the word with strength and power and conviction and not hold back. Because he heard it that way. He heard it and it excited him enough to sit down and give me a call about it. It's that kind of thing. We have that kind of influence on each other. So there's assignments, there's courage, resilience to bounce back when things get tough. There's favor that's part of that package. The Lord opens it, favor is given to open the door to resources to flow to you and through you so you can do the thing that God's called you to do. And then influence is the result of the fruit of courageously walking out this assignment that we've been given from the Lord. So I want to focus on the last two aspects, favor and influence, for the rest of the time that we're talking this morning. So let's look at favor for a minute. Favor is a really misunderstood thing. It's a really misunderstood dynamic in the kingdom of God. We think that favor is God just saying, like rubber stamping you and saying, you can do this. That's God's favor. It's just a release. You can just do this. But take a look at this definition of favor from Lance Wallnau. This is what he says favor is. It's a spiritual magnetism that wraps itself around a person who's charged with a divine assignment they're in the process of unfolding. Isn't that cool? It's a spiritual magnetism that wraps itself around you. Favor is the attraction of God to you. So the magnetism is attracting God to you. Favor is a spiritual magnetism that wraps itself around you, and it's attracting God to you, that releases an influence through you so that every resource you need materializes in order to accomplish the assignment God gave you. Isn't that good? Yes. Don't you want favor now?
Yes.
You know, it's a spiritual magnetism that attracts God and releases the things that you need to accomplish what God gave you to do. The force of favor is this mysterious attraction factor that brings the resources, divine connections, appointments, and finances into proximity so that you'll find them and be able to use them. That's favor. I mean, I think that we should want that, not shy away from it or hope, but really want favor in our lives. I mean, there's something about being weak and insignificant that's attractive to Christians. I have no idea why we've embraced this, but we actually like it if we're a little bit behind, a little bit lower, a little bit less than. It kind of scares us to be at a level that where we're really functioning at a much higher level. It scares us. Favor scares us. It really does scare us. The thought that we would have the favor of God on our lives, we would have this spiritual magnetism that would attract God, and resources and gifts and talents would come through us and out, or into us and through us. That kind of freaks us out, I think. None of us are really comfortable with that. I think part of that is because the church is under the influence, a heavy influence of the spirit of poverty. We think we function best when we're poor. We have no theology for functioning at a high level. We think that that's pride, that that's self-anything. You know, we shy away from it because we think it's self-promotion, self-sufficiency, self-adulation. You know, we think that we're walking in pride when God's doing something that shows that his favor is on us. Like if a church in town was given a gift, $1 million, let's say. That's a nice round number. It would change the way they did ministry because they'd be able to operate at a much higher level. That doesn't mean that they would become rich and famous, but they would be able to, it would allow them to do things at a much higher level. Well, what would the rest of the churches in that town say about that church? They're so full of themselves. They think they're the coolest place in town now. They've done all this new stuff and built all these things. And, you know, and so it's not only do we not like favor, but we don't even like somebody else getting favor in our midst. We don't like that. We don't do very well when people experience breakthroughs because we think our thought is, well, why does God love them more than he loves us? Why is there favor on their life and not on my life? Favor is a tough one for us. Look what it says in Psalm 5. It is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as a shield. Doesn't that sound like the spiritual magnetism that Lance is talking about? That draws God towards you? And then I also put it in the Passion Translation because it kind of expounds a little bit. Lord, how wonderfully you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps around each one and covers them under the canopy of your kindness and joy. I mean, I want God's favor on you. You do realize that his favor will never come on Evangel. But it'll come on, the favor of God comes on people. It doesn't come on buildings. It doesn't come on organizations. It comes on people. And then they always have the chance to do whatever they feel like they're supposed to do with this favor. And how? What does this have to do with courage? Everything. Because I really believe that when God's favor lands on someone or lands on a group of people, they have a choice of whether they're going to walk courageously in that favor or shrink back from it. You know, I could easily see a church be given $1 million and they stick it in the bank and keep doing things the way they've done in the past because they don't want to walk in pride. They don't want to be arrogant. They don't want to be seen by the rest of the churches a certain way. I don't think that's good either. I mean, if he gives us favor, he gives us favor to accomplish things. He doesn't give us favor as a trophy to put in the case, the trophy case. His favor is given for a reason. So let's talk about influence a little bit. Influence at its core is about capturing the affections of another. That's really what influence is about. Thoughts, decisions, and outcomes are altered and determined as a result. The degree to which a person has intimately gripped the heart of another will determine the depth of influence that person can exert over another. It comes out of a book called Created for Influence. I've been trying lately to, every week when I look at a different aspect of courage, to read a different book. And it's not because I'm trying to incorporate that person's thinking, but I'm trying to jar my own thinking. I want to think differently. And so reading this book by William Ford was a good. There were some parts of the book I didn't necessarily like and weren't helpful, but there were some parts that were really helpful. But what it did was it stirred me to think about what really is influence. What is influence? Influence is the ability to sway other people's thinking, the way they think about things. When you influence them, you influence their thinking and actions as well as the dynamics of your relationship with them. Let me give you an example of this. I grew up in an atmosphere early on as a Christian where my greatest spiritual influence was very generous, very generous. In fact, we spent a lot of time, like I do, in restaurants, coffee shops, and that kind of stuff. And he always paid for everything, always. I don't know if I ever got the chance to pay for anything because he was always paying for things for me. He would always pay for things. And so I kind of inherited that, and as many of you know, to the point where, that's part of my role. That's part of my function is to, I just like to be there and pay for things. It's not a lot. It's not like I'm lifting myself up or it's a cup of coffee. But, you know, and even some of the people in some of the coffee shops, you'll go to pay and they'll go, oh, no, Jeff won't let you do that. You know, he's going to pay. You know, it's pretty funny, you know, how they've picked up on this. Because I'll fight with people. It's kind of fun. It's a little banter that goes back and forth. But I was meeting with Patrick this week, and he said, I'll pay for it. And I go, okay. And I've been letting that happen a little bit more. And I felt like the Lord said, you are just not getting this. Because when I gave you that as a way to build relationships, but I was also giving you that ability to pay for things and that kind of thing, I want you to teach other people how to do that too. And if you're going to really teach them how to do that, you have to let them do what you've taught them to do. And I realized, oh my gosh, me never getting to pay for things early on created this thing inside of my thinking where I thought that was my role. And it really wasn't, he was really teaching me how to handle life in a really effective way, a really beautiful way. And so I realized that I've got to start letting people do the things that I've influenced them to do over the years. I mean, it happens in worship, it happens in teaching, it happens in leadership, it happens in buying coffee. You know, it doesn't mean that I'm going to stop paying for stuff because the lessons always go on, you know, the influence is always there. But you've got to let people walk in what you've influenced them to do. If you've influenced them to love people, then you can't be the only lover in the room. You've got to let them love people too. I'm not saying I've done this, but if you've influenced them to pray, then you can't always be the person at the mic praying. You've got to let somebody else pray because you're influencing them for a reason, you know? courage is rising up in them. And you've showed them that that's important. Now let them do it. Now let them do it. Just step out of the way and let them do it. And I think that's a lot of where evangel's at right now, is we've got a couple generations that are living together, doing life together, and it's important that we let each other do the things that we've influenced each other to do. So it says in Romans chapter 12, don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, one of my favorite scriptures, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's going on all the time in our lives. We're influencing each other that way all the time. We're causing each other to think differently. And I'll guarantee you, if a bunch of people who are between the ages of 20 and 30 show up and start operating in leadership, you're going to be challenged in the way that you think. I know this because I'm challenged all the time by just sitting down and talking to them. Devin, the guy with the dreads at Zojo, I forget his last name, Cummings. Devin Cummings is getting married soon. He's marrying a girl that he met in Norway from Iceland, and they're going to live in Norway. And I met her the other day on Saturday. She's beautiful, wonderful. I mean, she's dynamic, vivacious. She's really, really charismatic. And just talking to her a couple of minutes, I can see why Devin was smitten by this girl, because she has influence. She sat in the room and she just brightened up the place, you know, and she doesn't know anybody in the room. I've never met her before. I met her for the first time. And I feel better about myself just sitting there talking to her. And I'm thinking, she's having an influence on me. I mean, this 21-year-old girl is having an influence on me. She makes me feel better. This is so cool. And so I said, you know, the only sad part about this whole thing is that you're going to Norway instead of staying here in Longview, because we need you here. We need people who have that kind of influence. And many of you have that influence too. And I could go down a list and name that. But I think that this whole thing that comes with courage to allow us to do the things that we've been called to do, the favor that comes from God and the influence that comes out of that favor is something that God's going to begin to work in us and through us in remarkable ways. I'm really excited about it. There's another side of influence too. It's not only how you influence, but there's influences around us all the time. What's influencing you? What are the things that are influencing you? What are the things that you're allowing to influence you? Because you can influence the world around you, but the world can influence you too. And so you have to be really careful about what you let into your brain, what you let into your mind. You have to be really careful about what you... I'm not saying that you shouldn't watch certain TV shows or listen to certain kinds of music. I mean, sometimes I feel like the Lord has really called me to listen to the words of the music and the sound of the music that the world is playing right now, because he wants me to notice what it is about this that's influential. What's causing this? Kelly, my daughter called me the other day and said, have you heard this new Macklemore song? And Macklemore's, he's a rapper from Seattle, really popular. Most Christians would never be attracted to him, and he's talking about, I think it's a drug dealer. I mean, that's what the song's about. Is that what it is? Yeah. She said, have you watched this? And I go, no. She goes, I don't like his songs, but this is a powerful song. And so I'm looking at this song that I wouldn't necessarily want to ever listen to or pay attention to, but I'm checking it out, and it's like, it's powerful. This has got a influence. This song has got an influence. It's going to impact people. Maybe not positively, but it's got influence. And so influence isn't just what we have that goes out, but there's influences that are coming against us too, and you have to be awake and alert to the things that are coming. I think it plays itself out in every area of our lives. People can have a negative influence on us, and it's best not that you spend a whole lot of time living life around that kind of influence. And so you just got to be careful, because it works both ways. It says in Proverbs 7, I follow my advice, son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. I don't think we should be afraid of anything. I'm not saying be afraid of the influence of the world, but we ought to have this going on all the time, where his stuff His instructions are in our heart. They're tied upon our finger. We're reminded of them. I mean, if you're going to go into battle, you need to go into a battle equipped. And I'm not saying shy away from battle at all, but I'm saying don't be stupid. Equip yourself. You know, if you're experiencing spiritual warfare, get in the Word. Get Him in you. Get His words in you. I mean, it's much better than trying to read a book on spiritual warfare and then go casting out devils and binding this and binding that. Start reading Proverbs every day. Start reading Psalms and get the Word in you so you realize who you are in Him. The battle is an internal battle, mostly. It's whatever's in your heart. If His Word isn't in your heart, the battle's going to be really hard because it's going to be in your own strength and your own power. So influence is a powerful thing. Let me get down here. There's a lot of different influences. You can have the influence of relational affection. That has influence. Generational influence. You can be influenced by the generations that you're part of. The influence of the Father's heart. You can be under that influence. The influence of wisdom. The influence of faith. This is kind of cool that forgiveness can be an influence, can have an influence. You not forgiving leaves a void there. If you fill that void with forgiveness, if you forgive someone, you have influence in their life. Not because you've set them free, but because you love them. And so if you're looking to have influence, I mean, sometimes it takes a tremendous amount of courage to forgive people. Because people do stupid stuff all the time. And they're mean a lot of the times. And so it takes a lot of courage to forgive. But there's a powerful influence that's released when you forgive someone. You have influence in their life. You have permission to speak love to them. There's anointings called the influence of fragrance, the influence of God's glory, the influence of faithfulness, the influence, the courts influence our culture, but we also influence the courts, the influence of evil. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of influence. But let's get down to this part, that the favor of God and the mind of Christ equals the kingdom influence. I think this next season for the church is we're going to see lots of doors opening that are going to release us into more radical places of following Him than ever before. And one of the main ways He's going to do that, He's going to release us. He's going to release the counsel of God to the world through us. And that's a powerful influence. I mean, and it may come in as simple a form as, you know, you're at your daycare center and they're having a hard time and, you know, they're just struggling with some things and you just stop for a moment and you say, well, can I pray for you right now for this center to see that this thing? Well, let's just say that they were having an infection of lice or something. That's about as dynamic and dramatic a thing that can happen to a daycare. And they tell you about it, and you have the boldness and the courage to pray that moment. And let's just say the next day and for the next couple years, they never struggle with it again. Have you influenced that place by a prayer? Yeah. And so it can be simple things like that. Or it could be, it could be that God's calling you into full-time ministry. What are you going to do with that? How are you going to handle that? Where are you going to put that? I've run into a few young people who I feel like are called into ministry. They don't think so yet. And they're like, no way, I don't want to do that. I've seen your life. I don't want that life. But this next season, He's going to release us into some areas where we're going to have a really dramatic effect on the world around us. And again, I don't think the Lord is worried about this. He's not concerned about how this is all going to work out. He's not concerned about how He's going to get you positioned so that you can do the thing that He's given you assignment for. He's not worried about that at all. We worry about it a lot, but He's not really worried about it. He doesn't sit back and worry about how He's going to get us to do what He wants us to do. In fact, that isn't even His heart. His heart is more like, I've put some amazing things in you. If you would just let them come out, we could change the world together. So it's like He wants to open us up. He doesn't want to focus us in on the assignment. He wants to open us up so we'll see what's inside of us. And we'll let Him come in us and then through us to other people and do some amazing things. This whole idea of the mind of Christ is fascinating to me. The mind of Christ is the Solomon-like access to the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, and to get supernatural solutions for problems by the mind of Christ being revealed to us. There's a solution to every problem if the power of God is in the answer. There's a solution to every problem if the power of God is in the answer. If the power of God is in the answer to the problem, every solution is available to us. Because he can release those solutions. He can release the wisdom. He can release the counsel of God to us anytime he wants. And the scripture for that is in that talks about that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I won't read that right now. But this plan that God has, this work, you can see it in Psalm 133 when it says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like precious oil on the head running down the beard on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life evermore. This commanded blessing of the Lord's is a powerful thing. So some of the things that he's calling us to do are only going to be done. We're only going to get the revelation and be able to work it out in relationship with each other. Because affection is a powerful influence. I'm not talking about romantic affection. I'm talking about love for each other, friendship with each other, caring about each other. I mean, you could kind of feel it this morning when Christina was sharing what she shared about her entry into evangel. You could hear it when Randy was talking about his love for you. That affection causes us to be more powerful together than we are apart. I mean, some things that are going to happen in the future are powerfully going to happen because there's a commanded blessing in our love for each other. There's a commanded blessing in our affection for each other. The more we love each other at deeper levels, the more power is God is able to release through us to the world around us. That's exciting because it isn't dependent upon a 5-year plan or a class on spiritual gifts, inventories. It isn't dependent upon developing an outreach program. I think our greatest outreach programs are yet to come, and they're going to not even be programs at all. They're going to be you, fired up by the favor of God coming on you, courage rising up, and you ready to have the influence that God wants you to have in the city. I think the enemy's really rocked about this right now. He really does not want this to happen. He would love to take us out. He would love to remove us from the equation right now because we're right on the verge of seeing powerful things happen because courage is rising up. And a framework for understanding how courage works is rising up. This is a battle right now. There's a battle raging around us. We think we're just waiting for the Seahawks to play. But there's a battle raging around us. There's a battle raging here. And we're on the side that wins. Yahoo! We're not like, he's not waiting for us to get our act together so he can go into battle. The battle is already raging. It's part of us. That's what I felt about this, this election on Tuesday. The battle is raging and there's been a major strategic repositioning from the Lord. What are you going to do? Oh, we don't have anything to worry about. Or if you wanted Hillary Clinton to win, we have everything to worry about. You know, it's just, there's a battle that's raging around us. What are we going to do? As we sit here in Longview in this building, we need to pay attention to what's going on. We need to pay attention to the battle that rages. We need to pay attention to what the Lord wants us to do mostly, not what the enemy's doing, but what the Lord is saying. Step up. Get courage, take courage, move forward, get ready to go. There's assignments coming, get in line. You know, you're about to get powerful assignments. What are you going to do with them? How are you going to respond to them? I think we're getting more and more ready for that moment when he releases those things. And my encouragement, you know, to just wrap this thing up because I'm never going to get done. My encouragement is prepare your hearts because the first reaction, first response to somebody beginning to walk in courage and you see the favor of God in their life, the first response is to pick them apart. Well, they don't deserve that. They don't have the education for that. they've only been here in this body for a couple months. They haven't been saved that long. They just come out of recovery. I mean, we do that kind of stuff. We have this qualifier in our mind that says only these certain types of people are able to walk in God's favor. Apparently, he's the judge, not us. So we got to be ready, because I think that the Lord's going to begin to raise some stuff up in people, and they're going to say, you know, this sounds really crazy, but I feel like I'm supposed to do this. And they're going to need us around them going, listen, I see that in you already. I already see you doing this. Go for it. I'm with you. I'm behind you. I don't know. I could go on and on, because the coach in me is wanting to just cheerlead right now. But the reality is, I know who's the leader. I know who's leading this thing, and it's not me. Amen. And it's not Donald Trump. We have a leader. We're not abdicating that leadership role to anything or anyone. He's a strong leader. He's been leading for a long time, and some things are about to change. There's a shift happening. I think we need to pay attention to the leader. Pay attention to Jesus' voice. Listen to what he says, how he's saying it, how he's guiding us, how he's leading us. I don't know what to do now. It just seems like we should give the Holy Spirit a chance to speak to us. So do you have a couple minutes? Okay, Tammy? The boxes will go together so much better if something gets released in us. Jeff, you want to play?
Oh, did you want me to?
Oh, sure. I like the way you play. A lot of times, all the Holy Spirit wants is room. All he just wants is room. He doesn't want us to do anything. He just wants room. So we give you some room here, Lord. I don't know how you think assignments are given by the Lord, but they come at the least likely moment. The time when you don't expect them. They come in a variety of ways, not just one way. Sometimes it's reading the word. Sometimes it's sitting down and having coffee with somebody. Sometimes you're in the midst of something that's really trying. Sometimes it's a joyful time. Favor is the same way. God seems to think he's in control, and he can give out favor whenever he wants to. He can release it when he wants to. And to be honest with you, in the next couple minutes, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Everything is possible. So in this atmosphere where anything is possible, Holy Spirit, we give you access to our lives. We say yes to you. We open our hearts to you. Release revelation of who you are and who we are in your midst. Release revelation, we pray. May we be convinced of who you are right now. Faith rise, Lord. Faith in this room, rise. Let it rise now. Let faith rise. Faith in you, let it rise. Let it rise in our hearts. Just respond to that. If that's something you want, just say yes, Lord. Yes. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. If faith is going to rise in this room, let it rise right here first. Let it rise in me first. Let your faith rise. Rise, Lord. Faith for miracles. Faith for wholeness. Some of you have been going through a really difficult time. I mean, the stress and the fear is real. Lord, let faith rise up right now. Let faith rise up in my heart. Let faith rise up in our hearts to accomplish more than words could accomplish. Let faith rise up to push fear completely out of our lives. Let faith rise. Let faith rise, Lord. Some of you need to pay attention to what these kids are bringing out, if you're parents, because what's in this message is a message for you today. Even as we pray for faith to rise up, and you guys that are around them might want to just grab one of the kids, the pictures one of the kids have, and look at it. The Lord may want to speak to you through it. Just as they were walking out, I felt like the Lord said, I can speak to these children right now, powerfully. Just take a minute. Take a look at what these pages are around you. It's not about sitting still in the presence of God. It's about letting Him be Lord. It's not about having the right song and the right atmosphere. It's about letting Him be Lord. You might have to get out of your chair to find one of these little papers that these kids brought out. But if you're looking for direction from the Lord, you might want to give it a shot and see what's there. See what's on those pages. See if it brings something to life for you. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon us as a people in this region. I pray for your blessing upon this region and that our lives would begin to have a greater and greater influence upon the direction things go, civically, politically, relationally, for families in this region. I pray for greater and greater influence to come from the people of Evangel and the life in Cowlitz County. As faith rises, may the assignments come. May we step up with courage and have the resilience not to give up when things get hard, but to push through. May the favor of God begin to rest on us and release us into the influence that you want us to have, Lord. The influence that is coming right from your heart. Release us into that, Lord. We look forward to the days ahead. We look forward to life with you and life in the kingdom as it advances ahead. We look forward to this day, Lord. Bring it on, Lord Jesus, in all your power and strength. Bring it on, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may have to hunt down one of those little papers that they just walked out with, but it'd be worth it. And if you're a parent holding on to one, share. Please share.
I don't care. Unless you want to.
You're blessed. We're going to pack boxes. We're going to put our roots down deeper tonight at 6. Bless you.